Welcome to another episode of the Westlife podcast, sponsored by MG Pump Solutions. And as always, check us out on the socials at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And check us out on patreon.com/Westlife if you want to support the show. We've actually got two new members this week, and we'll get to those in just a second. But I'll introduce my magic trio, Shane from MG Pump Solutions. How are you feeling, Shane?
Oh, yeah, great.
As good as you can be after a loss. And Rob, I'm imagining you're pretty much the same.
Yeah, I'm good, mate, other than what happened Sunday.
So, obviously, we'll get into a try-by-try analysis. I put myself through that again this week. I've got to tell you, it's a lot more fun doing it when you're the team that scores a lot more tries. But we'll try and get through it as quick as possible, and then I'll unleash. I know Rob's sitting on his hands at the moment, ready to fire up at that. So, as I mentioned, we have a new Patreon member, and it's our first. Well, we've got two new members this week. So, welcome to Brendan, who's a Luke Brooks member. So, he gets his comment read on the show, just like the rest of the crew in the moment. Now, we have our first Madge Michael Maguire level member. So, that's the next tier up. So, welcome to Will. He's our first Madge member. And that means he gets his audio. He actually gets his rant straight up onto the pod. So, he sent that through. And here is Will's first time on the show.
G'day, boys. Very, very proud to be supporting the podcast. You do good work. I'm actually quite a big NRL podcast listener. I listen to quite a lot of them, and I'm always amazed by how little NRL fans and commentators seem to understand about the Tigers and what's happening at the club and what's actually going on. There seems to be sort of a preconceived idea about what the Tigers are. And you guys are very different. You give us some insight into the club and we hear what's actually going on, hear the good news stories as well as the clickbait stories that we get elsewhere. So keep it up. Very happy to be involved.
So thanks to Will there. I didn't really know what to expect from Will. I thought he might be angry at the referees like Rob. He's much calmer than we are this week. And massive raps for us. So that'll almost sound like a paid ad, boys, but no, he's a paid member of the show and he's given us a pretty good rap there. What do you reckon, Rob?
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. It's really nice to hear some positive feedback, and we try our best and we try and speak the truth and what we feel is right and what our opinions are. And yes, we're pretty authentic, so no, it's really nice to hear that.
And Shane, you've been part of the show the entire year. You've heard a lot of good feedback, even on the hill. You've had a lot of people saying they love the show, which is awesome.
Yeah, even Grant, who's in the Raw store. So I actually chat to him quite a bit, and he listens to the podcast each week. So shout out to Grant as well.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for listening. I know the club, a few people at the club are taking notice of us, and we are critical of them sometimes, but at the end of the day, they're basically our church. So we love them, we praise them. So to anyone from the West Tigers Club listening to us as well, and we feel sorry for you having to put up with the Facebook comments and the people calling the club complaining about what's going on in the field, even though you're hardworking behind the scenes. So that just really, really pisses me off. I know I'm going on a bit of a tangent here, but if you call up the club or comment on the social media abusing the people basically working behind the scenes at the club, you're a piece of shit. Please stop doing that. But have your opinion on the game itself and keep it away from the guys at the club. So that's cool that a few people at the club are listening as well. So we've got a few questions. So we put out the question today on Twitter for people to throw in some questions. So we'll kind of weave them into the show as we go. And I'll start with our other Patreon comments. We've just got, I'll just check if any others have come in. as we're recording. No, we've just got Aaron. So Aaron's gone on a bit of a rant again this week. So Aaron says, I really feel for this team sometimes going out there and trying their asses off, but sometimes it's destined to just not go your way. Considering the amount of ball the Eels had against us and how much defending we've really had to do, I'd say the boys put in pretty well. Yeah, there were some bad defensive lapses and some crucial drop ball, but we never really looked, never really completely got a look in. Parra were getting quick play ball, play the balls all night while we were allowed to lay, while they were allowed to lay all over us and slow us down plenty. Sadly, I don't see us getting a look in at all against Parramatta for a while now. The refs seem to love them, particularly when they play against us. A bit sad when you can predict the result against a certain team long before you play them. At least we've won a premiership in my lifetime. I can't say the same for them. Yes, in brackets, yeah, I'm still salty. Yeah, that's my my go-to thing with my para supporting mates who haven't seen a premiership in their lifetime because they're, yeah, my age or younger. So sucked in on that. I hope they never win one. I hope I'm in six feet under when they do. So
they've won a lot of wooden spoons, so.
That's it.
That's true.
That's it. They've got us there. They've got us there. But yeah, we're salty too. But it's just the worst losing the Eels. Hey, they're my most hated club, and I hate the Rabbitohs, but it's more the Rabbitohs is more of the ego of like where the pride of the league and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, the fans are a little bit iffy, but they're just not to the level of the Eels fans. They just seem to be really obnoxious and just really loud whinges. Do you find the same thing, Shane?
Yeah, I've got a couple of mates who are Para fans, and after they win, thanks for the 2 points. Come again, guys. It's just like, come on, man. Like, you guys are the May Premiers every year. You're the best team. Yeah, we're in the top four. We're killing it. It's like, man, shut up. We're so sick of listening to it.
What's your relationship with Eels fans, Rob?
Yeah, I've got a couple of mates from school that are Para fans. They're actually pretty good sports, actually. They're much better sports than me. But look, if there are any Parramatta fans listening to the pod tonight, I'd just like them to send through a photo of what a wooden spoon looks like, because we've never had one. And like, they've had plenty of them, so just please forward it on to us just so we know what it looks like, just in case we get one like that.
They always throw in, oh, you've only been around for 21 years. But in that 21 years, I think they've had three in that time, maybe two. More than zero, anyway. So
I think they've had three in the last 10 or 12 years, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've had three in the last 10 years. They had two. They had 2017, they had one.
Hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember. But I know they were like sort of perennial down the bottom there anyway. So
yeah, that was with my...
They're not winning any comps this year, so... Let's, you know, they're only, if we don't make the semis, they're going to last two more weeks than us. That's no big deal.
Fingers crossed. I don't know. I'll leave Sydney if they make the grand final. But righto, so I put myself through a rewatch today. Went through all the tries in the game and kind of did a bit of a summary of what I thought. And so, boys, I'll get your thoughts on each one. So, leading to the first try, the Eels made a break down the sideline. Noffa comes over to make a cover tackle. He wraps the ball up, and in my opinion, the ball just comes loose. It's a loose carry. I've asked a few people who aren't Tigers fans to have a look at it as well, and they think, obviously not Eels fans, they reckon it was a pretty rough call. And then, of course, two tackles later, Nathan Brown offloads it. Billy Walters gets drawn to the tackle. AD probably should have come over a bit quicker to get Gutho, who kind of strolls over for the try. But, boys, Rob, I'll start with you. Do you think that was a strip?
I actually think it was a strip, to be fair. And I don't like disagreeing with you, Josh, because I know you're a pretty fair guy.
No, fair enough.
But I think you did have your hand around the ball, but you definitely yanked at it. So it was a strip. But I think what you're saying about Adam should have come in, that's Billy Walters just had no trust in the person next to him and just came inside when he had no need to.
Yep.
Brown was already covered. Like, there was just no need to come in. And, you know, Billy Walters was just a massive defensive liability all game, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's in my notes a couple of times here. What are your thoughts on the strip and the first try, Shane?
Oh, look, I don't think it was, personally. But the call that went, so you've sort of got to cop it, as shit as it is. Yeah, I don't really have much to say about it.
Yeah. Okay. 23rd minute, so penalty goal is kicked after they rule that 12 takes out a kicker. So the guy's nowhere
absolute
near
bullshit.
This.
Absolute bullshit.
I got some non-Tigers fans and non-Eels fans kind of check my bias sort of thing, and they're like, yeah, that's really, really rough call on 12. His feet don't even move. I reckon if it was basketball, you'd probably call a charge. Like, it's...
Not even a charge, Josh. He just touched him. He barely touched him with his arm. It's nothing.
No, I'm saying it would have been an offensive foul. It would be an offensive foul in basketball. Like, his feet are literally set, and he just runs into him and falls over. What do you reckon?
He was already falling over when he ran into him. That's the difference. Like, he was already on a 45-degree angle. He hit him and fell. Like, you're already tripping over. Like, you're not running upright. You didn't get put in a different position. Twile didn't step out. Didn't do nothing. His feet were planted. He stood there, and you fell into him. Like, I was blown up. I was about to throw my phone at the TV.
Yeah, it's just a rough call. I know it's only 2 points, but 8-0 goes to two tries instead of one.
I think we got out of the in goal as well from memory.
I think
someone had made their way just out of the in goal.
I think Luke Garner, possibly.
Yeah, that was Garner.
So it was a great effort. And the fact is, the ref didn't call it. It was the bunker that called it. So they've had several looks at it and called it a penalty.
Shocking at the fucking ref this game.
Yeah. Talking in the bunker, so 31 minutes in, the bunker decides that Billy Walters puts a toe to the ball. I think we're pretty much in agreement that he got a schmick on the ball. Yeah, so
he definitely touched it. The sad part was it was going out anyway.
Yeah.
It was just unlucky.
That's the thing. Sometimes they stick their foot out. Sometimes you're probably just better off just leaving it to go to the fullback. That was one of those ones. So after that, they get another possession, dummy half try. I thought Seifarth at marker probably could have got to his feet a little bit quicker. Luciano probably could have reacted a little bit quicker. It was just a friggin' soft try, however you look at it. And what did you think of that one, Rob?
Yeah, that was probably the low light of the half. More importantly, because it was their backup hooker, just made us look silly. Got through basically three or four guys. That was just... That's probably the unacceptable part, but that's on the back of the mountain of defence that we had to do. And, you know, before they'd scored a point, we made a few errors and we defended them well. But we'll get on to how they kept getting great field position and territory all game later.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that one, Shano?
As you said, like, their second-rate hooker ran through everyone. Like, I don't rate Lussick at all. He's not good. And for him to have the game he did against us, like, really pissed me off, because we should have stopped him. We should have been able to stop him.
So a little bit of hope a few minutes later, at least. So we get a rare set restart from Grant Atkins, finally. I'm not sure if it was the first one we got of the game, but it sure felt like it. So, and then the Parra knocked down the ball, so another kind of semi-restart from a mistake. Luciano gives a nice short ball to Luke Brooks, who's flying on the ball. It was actually a really good hole hit by Brooksy, and he draws and passes pretty much without looking to Lids, who goes under the post to make it 14-6. So at this stage, we're looking like 14-6, for how shit we were playing at halftime, wasn't too bad. Yeah, thoughts on that try, Rob?
That was a beautiful bit of play from Luke Brooks, and it definitely was a no-look pass. And good to see Lids backing up and getting us back in the game, and really being down by 8 points at half-time, you just thought, wow, everything's gone against us. If this ref gives us a fair shake in the second half and we get 50-50 ball, we're a chance.
What were your thoughts at half-time, Shane, and on that try as well?
I was just glad we got back into range, really, to strike. But, I'll be honest, Brooks, with our forwards struggling a bit, especially with how everything was going call-wise, which definitely rocked us, Man, I still think Brooks played good. Some of his kicks were off, but I still reckon it was excellent. It's probably our best on field.
Considering we had how little possession we had, there's not really much he could have done with that little possession. Nah, so
there was a couple of kicks where they went a little, like they weren't into the. I'd say they're probably about 10 metres back off the goal line, still yeah. things like that. But still, like, I still think he was the best on field for the first half for us, definitely.
So into the second half, Sean Bloor gets sin binned a few minutes in, holding back a Parramatta player. We pretty much can't really argue with that one, Rob.
You can't, but I mean, he pulled him back so he could get to the defender. But look, I can accept it being a sin bin, but, you know, it's just one of those calls that, you know, could have gone either way, but they made sure they found us. And yeah, that was probably just before that, Josh. I know we obviously can't talk about it because you're doing the tries, but just Lids knocks the ball on 10 metres out when we're down 14-6. That's probably the turning point of the game. If we could have scored there and put some scoreboard pressure on and got it back to 14-12, I think from that moment, we're always pushing shit uphill, to be brutally honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was probably a sin bin back to that try, and yeah, not much you can do about it. Then we had 12 men, and good luck after all that defence we'd done.
Yeah,
it's just going to be a hard hard wall to keep up.
So the next this sin bin period's pretty much one of those. It seems every game there's just this period of just absolute shit, and it just costs us the game. Even though, I mean, 14-6, we're still in it. So after that happens, Mitchell Moses does a dummy, puts Billy Walters on ice skates. Basically, Billy just throws an arm out, runs through. Seyfarth was probably a little bit slow in cover, but it's not his fault. It's pretty much on Billy, in my opinion. Moses pretty much runs around Dane Laurie and scores. So 26-6 at this point, and pretty much game over from that point. Yeah, thoughts on that one, Rob?
Yeah, just maybe Dane was carrying a little bit of an injury or something, but I was actually surprised how Moses got around him and like torched him for speed after having run probably 40 or 50 metres to get to Dane Laurie. But look, we were down a man and our line was shot. And to be honest, you know, Billy Walters was just a massive weak link for us. So the trust had gone out of our back line. We had guys covering for him and him not knowing what to do. And yeah, in hindsight, it was a terrible selection.
What do you reckon, Shano, on that one?
Yeah, just I don't know what happened to Laurie. It didn't look like he got injured beforehand. It's sort of weird, eh? Like, I didn't expect Moses to be able to do what he did. But yeah, there's absolutely zero confidence in our back line. Just as Rob said, Walters was probably the worst selection he could have went with. And as I said to you boys earlier in the week, my confidence was high if Moses was in, and absolutely zero if Walters is in. And it sort of proved why, I guess.
Yep. Doesn't get any better either. So Moses makes a break pretty much in the same spot the next set. Yeah, kind of goes under his centre. AD tries and moves across, slips over. So basically Moses just strolls through, draws and passes Dane this time, puts Sivo over as well. Thoughts on that one? Shane, you go first on this one.
It was just all too easy, wasn't it? It just proves like how tired we were from defending back-to-back sets just continuously. And then also having that player off, it's just, we didn't have the speed and couldn't couldn't cover. That's all it was. Just missing that one person.
Here's where the refereeing, because I know, I'll unleash you after this, Rob. This is where complaining about the referee, and people say, well, how can you complain about the referee when the other team scores 40? It's the momentum of the game that just changes. And I'm sure I'm probably stepping on a few words of what you're about to say, Rob, but the game pretty much was over. And as Shane just said, when you're under fatigue and just trying to defend, in the modern game, a team can just go bang, 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 and it's game over. You can't. The referee decisions can lead to that. The set restarts and just, yeah, it's just pure, pure fatigue. So, Rob, it's probably a good spot. I know you want to unleash on the refereeing in this game. It's probably as good time as ever. So, away you go.
Well, firstly, just before that try, Billy Walters had actually made a really good break, and he had men on his right and left. And if he had looked on his left, we had a try that would have been scored, you know, near the right post, and we would have been down by 14 with 14 minutes left. So we actually could have had some hope. So Walters absolutely bombed a try there. I don't know what was going through his head. What you're saying, Josh, in terms of momentum and what have you, even though we're down 14-6 and it looks like, you know what, that's not too bad, we're 8 points behind, we've got a bit of hope, that ref crushed us in the first half. Like, he absolutely crushed us. You've got the biggest units in the NRL, like your Junior Paulos and your Regan Campbell Gillards and your Papali'is and your Madisons, and then even your smaller blokes who look like, you know, gigantors like Nathan Brown running a wreck, and he's piggybacking them from 10 metres out from their own line into our half. Now, sure, all those penalties or restarts are probably justified, but we never got them back the same way. It was just so one-sided. It was absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, I've had some running battles on Twitter with Para fans and, you know, even Tigers fans and what have you. I feel frustrated for the players, and that's the part that hurts me the most, because I can't imagine being a player and just copying that shit that we copped. Like, if I'm James Tarmo, halfway through that first half, I'm getting another match official on the field and I'm putting an official complaint in about Grant Atkins, because, mate, he's done it 2 weeks in a row to us. And the week before, we didn't lose because Penrith had 7 or 8 players out. They didn't have, you know, the guys there to knock us over. We could withstand all their shit. But Parramatta had basically a full team, minus their hooker. So it just wasn't fair, mate. We cop it all the time. And I would have been happy for Madge to absolutely let loose with a spray for the sake of our future going forward, because we're just going to cop it again against Melbourne. We're going to cop it against all the good teams seem to get leg-ups. And when it's us, it's a different story. And like I say, we're probably not going to win with Billy Walters at 5'8". We made our own errors, but, you know, to our credit, the first few errors we made, we defended them. It was still in law. But this guy just never gave us a chance. And then other decisions that happened later in the game, like Sivo should have been sent off. Papali'i deliberately dropped a knee. The bunker didn't deem it to be a send-off. You know, you're trying to protect head injuries. What's going on? What sort of look is that? If you've got a kid now, Josh, do you want your son playing rugby league when you know that someone can get a knee to the head and get an $1,150 fine for it? It's absolute fucking bullshit. And I'm sick of it, mate. I'm absolutely sick of it.
Especially the head contact is the rage at the moment. They're coming down so hard. I mean, it was less than 10 minutes, so it's not really a sin bin or send-off wouldn't have really made much of a difference. But I think he just got away with a fine too. I don't think he's actually been suspended for it, was he?
No, he wasn't suspended. It's an $1,150 fine.
Yeah. So
And you know, like, I had a bit of a, you know, look, we're really good mates on Twitter, Biggest Tiger, Big T, and he's privately messaged me and said, you know, look, we're mates and not trying to bait you, blah, blah, blah. Where I come from on this, Josh, it's not just being a sook and whinging about the rest. Just look at the life of a West Tigers fan for the last few years, okay? I think I'm a pretty honest assessor of our club and our team and whatever. And until the last few weeks, I've had zero hope, okay? We've really started to build some momentum. I know we've played a couple of weekend teams, but you can see that there's a lot more confidence in the boys. Like Shane was saying, Brooks was playing behind a beaten tack. And with the ball in his hand, his running game's amazing right now. I've never seen it better. Like, his kicking game was off, couldn't agree more. But his running game's still really good. He's playing with a lot of confidence. So you look at everything we've built up to, and then we cop that shit on Sunday, and it just takes the air out of our tyres, mate. You know, we're building to something, and then we just hit this bump, and it's like, fuck, now we've got to play Melbourne. Like, if we'd have lost respectably or had a chance to win the game, you can kind of accept it. But this is years and years of being down. And these boys are working hard. They're busting their asses. And we just get absolutely bent over by this son of a former Parramatta player. He was as corrupt as fuck on Sunday, mate. And it's just not acceptable. I don't know what you guys think. But fuck, mate, yeah. If I saw him, I'd fucking give it to him and he'd bail me out. I'll fucking smash him.
Well, you didn't disappoint.
And I don't apologise for that. And whatever anyone thinks, I don't give a shit. You know, we're passionate West Tigers fans. We're sick of being down the bottom. You know, these guys are building to something. This guy never gave us a chance. Absolute rubbish.
It's not even right, he didn't give us a chance. It was like open only trying to fuck us and stop our momentum. So Parramatta get
back to back weeks, Shane. Back to back weeks. And, I don't know if Josh has got a stat. How many penalties? How many six to goes? How many in both weeks? What we did last week at Leichhardt was Herculean, mate. That was the stuff that made you feel 10 feet tall and say, this motherfucker couldn't take the game off us. And what did they do? They doubled down on Parramatta 13 plus this week. Backed into $1.90. You know, come on, man. The money was on. It's absolute bullshit. And I don't care what anyone says about the referees. They can fuck off if they're going to ref like that. Just bullshit. What are we following the game for?
Well, it's not refereeing, is it?
It's not refereeing, mate. It's one-sided. Like, Parramatta were offside all game. They were lying on us all game. Second efforts in the tackle. No six again. No nothing. And you're sitting there like, what am I doing? Why am I following this game? It's just frustrating, mate. Fucking sick of it.
So, penalties last week. 11-10 penalties to Penrith. There were a couple of square-ups, I feel like, late in the game too. Ruck infringements 5-2. So, 5 against us to Para. So, this week, the penalty count was 9-4.
I mean, he even tried to say Alex Twole dropped a ball in a knock-on. That we luckily we had a challenge, that we could challenge it and prove that it wasn't a knock-on. Because I was looking for everything. And I'm not saying the other penalties weren't justified or the other six against weren't justified. What the thing is, if there was 9 penalties to them, there should have been 9 to us almost. Like, they would, whenever we had the ball, we were just getting held down. We couldn't get a repeat set. Like you said, I think our first repeat set, we got a try off the back of it. Well, what do you know? We got 2 sets in a row. No wonder we scored a try. They were getting 3 sets in a row. And you wonder, like, why the defence was absolutely shit late in the game. Our boys were busted, mate. They tried their asses off. That's, you know, like, that's why I don't take much out of the 40-12 loss. I really don't. Or 40-6 or whatever the fuck it was. I don't even know what the score was on that.
40-12.
Yeah,
so
it's not a reflection of who we are. I still don't think we were that bad. I mean, Billy Walters was rubbish. And, you know, the selections we'll get onto this week in the team, he's not there, and for obvious reasons. And he'll never play a first-grade game. No way, not for our club. He's woeful.
So penalties and ruck infringements put together was 17-9.
Well, there you go. Double the amount. Mm.
What are your thoughts on... Any more thoughts on the refereeing, Shane?
Oh, shit. I was blown up the whole time. Like, I was hysterical. So I was watching it with the father-in-law. And he always laughs at me. Because I blow up. And I said, just watch this game. Like, please, just watch this game and you'll understand what I'm talking about. And he was like, oh, no, you just the one-eyed Tiger supporter. He watched the game, and at the end of it, he's just like, okay, I sort of get it now. And I'm like, this is every week we watch this shit. Every single week we watch this shit. And look, ill-discipline stuffed us up a couple of times. Little knocked it on, what, I think it was 2-3 times.
He did it twice.
Yeah. So that really, like, put the nail in the coffin. That was the killer, like. But having him say, yeah, okay, look, I sort of get why you blow up. And then the next morning, we went out to Terrigal. There was an Eagles supporter there. He looks at me and just shakes his head. He goes, I feel sorry for you guys. He goes, that was the shittest refereeing I've ever watched in an NRL game in a very, very long time.
That's big for an Eagles fan.
Supporters alike. Mm. And he just laughed. He goes, man, like, that was pathetic.
Did you guys see the try in the second half? I'm trying to think of who it was that scored it, if it was Sivo or it might have been Moses or someone, but Noffa kind of got taken out just before the line, or someone got taken out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, after the try scored, I think it might have been Moses or Guffo walking back or something. If you just look at the facial expression between the ref and the para player and just how they were laughing, like, I was ready to explode. I was like, it was almost like a sense of relief from Grant Atkins, like, because the try, there was a chance that try could have been taken off them, even though our guy was never going to get to the try score.
Yeah.
But you just saw in that little smug look on his face, I'm like, you know, anyway, enough of that, man. It's just frustrating. Every time we get to a point where we think, you know, we can, like, our guys were basically playing with their hands behind their backs. It really was. It's just unfair. I really feel sorry for them. And anyone that wants to say, oh, their defence was shit, except with the exception of Billy Walters, I put most of it down to fatigue, and the boys still had a crack to the end. So yeah. I'm not disappointed in them, but it's just I just feel for them. And I think, you know, as a club, we've just got to stand up for that crap and just say, hey, you know, like, go to the ref's boss and say 2 weeks in a row, we're just been refereed differently to our opposition. Like the week before, we could have got six games against Penrith that we weren't getting. We're looking at each other like, what's going on? Why is one team copping and not the other? And it's the same referee 2 weeks in a row.
So 61st minute.
I don't think you should be getting refereeing any of our games anymore. It's just an absolute shit fight every time he does.
We'll get Jerry Sutton next week, but we'll or this week we'll talk about that in the preview. So 60. No, it's not. When I saw that, I wasn't happy either.
I think we get the biggest tiger to referee the games.
Shouts out to Big T. Love you, Big T.
Yeah.
61st minute. Hallelujah. So one of four penalties that we got in the game. So that leads to Brooksy going under Billy, who draws and passes to Cheeks. And Cheekham does a nice draw and pass to Jimmy Roberts, who he had a bit to do when he scored that try. So I thought they might have covered him. It was a forward that he stepped around, but a nice try to Jimmy out on the wing. But five minutes later, so we're looking like we might go back-to-back for maybe another try. And as you mentioned, we've already mentioned a few times, poor old Jacob Little drops it again, 10 metres out. And the next set, Parra get one of the softest tries you'll ever see. So Gutho offloads from Nathan Brown. Nathan Brown is... I hate Parramatta players, and I hate talking about players that we let go, but Nathan Brown, I rate him pretty highly. What about you? You guys, Shane?
Yeah, well, he's an enforcer. He always takes his little dives, like we saw it last year as well. But look, like he runs hard and he runs straight every time. He doesn't back down, he doesn't go slower. So I rate him.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Rob?
Yeah, we debuted him on the same day that Luke Brooks debuted. He had a lot of raps on him, but he was kind of talked up as a bit of a firebrand and a bit of a hothead and ill-disciplined, and you know that was going to hold him back in his career. And yeah, look. He's a good player, but I mean, it took him a while to get going. He went to South. He couldn't do anything with South. He got a few starts there, but he wasn't really that great there. But when he found his feet at Parramatta, so the guy goes well. I just wish he ran at Sean Bore a bit more.
Yeah, he did. He does tend to run it backs rather than forwards. But Brooksy probably let us down there. He probably should have hammered Gutho, who strolls over. He had a chance to basically just hammer him as he picked up the ball. Jimmy Tamo was a bit lazy coming across. But as you said, this is 70th minute and the fatigue's pretty much set in by then. The boys just looked out on their feet on that try. Can you say much more about that, Rob, on that one?
Not really, mate. I was pretty devo by then. I was actually hoping we just at least held the scoreboard a little bit closer. Like when we scored our tries, I thought, gee, get another try just to, you know, because for and against could be everything. We've got five or six teams in the comp just really dominating, and, you know, the team sort of vying for that eighth spot. Like North Queensland had 50 put on them, and, you know, Cronulla were lucky to win against Penrith, and just all these other teams are stagnating. You just think, you know what, this could come down to for and against. That'd just be such another West Tigers way to miss the finals.
Yeah. So New South Wales Cup, when they went down 28-26 before the main game, they apparently... Did any of you guys see the Cup game?
Not me, no. I was way up. I was up at Magenta. I'm actually...
Oh, you're both up the coast.
I'm
actually surprised
Shane didn't hear me from my hotel room.
So, yeah, apparently the Eels ran out to a pretty solid lead, and then we came back and missed a goal on the sideline. So, ironically, ex-Tiger Jordan Rankin beat us on his goal kicking, pretty much. So,
was he playing hooker?
Okay. not too sure. I don't have the information.
Yeah, I doubt it. I'm just being
in front of me. So, the Magpies, Maggies are back at Lidcombe Oval this Saturday. They're playing against the Knights. Righto, we'll get into some Twitter questions. Lighten up. We'll use Kelly's question first to lighten up the mood a little bit. So her question is in regards to crowds. How does a club improve attendance at games? The Bulldogs had almost 18,000 at the Stadium Australia yesterday and had only won one game prior to that this year. I think in terms of that game, public holiday definitely helps. Like Easter Monday, we always get really good crowds. So it's always convenient. It was 4 p.m. on a public holiday. So basically, everyone would have been back. It was kind of the perfect thing. Sydney Derby, people back from holidays, kid friendly. I think the kid thing is pretty much a big one in terms of having a time slot that's kid friendly. When Leichhardt get night games, you obviously see there's a lot less kids than a Sunday Arvo. And the fact that the NRL doesn't really care about crowds, it's all about TV ratings now. So I don't expect them to go back to where half the games are played at the same time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. So it's not going to happen. But the big thing for me, I think it's just down to winning games. I think there's not much more to getting our fans back to games, because put simply, the crowds are bigger when we're winning footy games. So I don't have any other thoughts on that at the moment. Rob, I'll start with you. How can we improve our... It's a bit touchy too, because the COVID restrictions means that like art can only have 10,000 and that sort of thing. But how can the crowds get bigger?
Oh, look, I think, like you said, it was a public holiday that made it a big crowd. And, you know, when we've had those Easter Monday games on public holidays, I know people could come in free from the Easter show, but we've had 40-odd thousand at games, like a couple of years in a row from memory. So I just think it's really down to the public holiday. It was quite a good day considering we're in the middle of winter. But I reckon if you had that game Saturday night, Friday night, Sunday arvo, you would not have got 18,000 there. I just think it was public holiday. And don't forget to, especially Canterbury and Para, even when they're travelling rubbish, their supporters do show up. Like Parramatta, like when we play them at Easter, we were both travelling badly and we were getting 40,000. So they have got loyal fan bases.
Oh, I think Para bandwagon a little bit more. Bulldogs, I mean, the fact that they're getting anyone turning up at their games in the last couple of years is credit to them. So, I think Para fans are pretty fair with them.
You know, that last game, and, you know, Nathan Hine, Marshall, they're still getting 15,000-20,000 when they were coming nowhere. So, yeah. To answer your question, I suppose, I don't know what the answer is, really. It's a real tough one. It really is. I can't give you the answer as to how we can improve it. It is what it is.
And any thoughts, Shane?
Need to win. Need to get the stigma away from the club. I just noticed, every article just seems to be about something shit that's happened to the Tigers, or how bad we are, or how we're in such a bad way. It's literally non-stop. So what I've noticed is, even online, you just have the supporters just eat up all the clickbait shit articles that don't mean anything. And they're believing it. And that's the biggest issue. They're not going to games. We've got a whole bunch of fans that won't go to Bankwest just to try and boycott it.
Yeah.
There's one
of them on the show.
Yeah, there's one on the show, mate. Careful.
We need every supporter to go to every game. Look, I don't like Bankwest. It's not our home ground. We get paid a lot to go there and play games. It's understandable why we do. If I could change it, I would, but we can't. We just got to cop it, and we've got to go support the boys. And I think that's a big thing. It's just a lot of those clickbait articles put a shit stigma on the club, and it seems every week something's coming out. Like, we won against the Panthers, and it's like, oh, Laurie's flopping, doing this, doing that. Oh, how shit do they look? That's not what Tigers do. Oh, great, we fucking beat the Panthers, who were undefeated. Yes, they didn't have players. It doesn't matter. That's still a top 8 team. It is still a very good team. We still beat them with the ref throwing everything he could against us. But you know what? Instead of going, wow, the Tigers played really well, it's, the fucking Panthers had players out. Oh, and Laurie flopped. We can't ever get a break from these shit articles that are just killing it. And they're just killing the vibes of the club. They're killing everything. And for the people that aren't going to games, that aren't getting out there, or they're not close to the club, they're not going to think anything different. They're going to be like, we can't hold our players. We can't hold good talent. It's like, well, Jacob Little signed, Jake Simpkins signed, Jock Madden re-signed. Like, all Sean Bloor re-signed it last year. Like we're keeping these young players. We're keeping this core group together. We're doing good signings. Like, man, what would you rather, Kemba Marlowe or Dallin Mattesi Zalesniak or whatever? Fucking, I can't even say it now. I'm too pissed off. I'm fucking fuming because that's the shit that's fucking killing our club, and it's driving me insane that I just, every time I go on, like, I'll be honest, I've been on like a bit of a social media detox the last couple of days, or the last couple of weeks really. I'll go on like maybe a couple of times a day, just have a look, and I always see a fucking shit article about the Tigers, and it's killing me. It's doing my head in, and it's killing our club. Really is killing our club, because these casual fans who seem to think they know everything because they've read 5 clickbait articles are online just bad-mouthing the team again. And when your own supporters are bad-mouthing the team, like newcomers and people that are wanting to go to the games, why are they going to go? So if we can sort of stop all this stigma from these clickbait articles, I think more people will go to games because we are a club that's coming up. And we're doing good. We've got good players. We've got a good fan base that does go to games.
Yep. That's the thing, is you need people to go through the hassle. So going to a game, especially with kids, is a massive hassle, especially at Leichhardt Oval. You're going to fight. And Leichhardt Oval was lucky that it's got the nostalgia about it that people kind of put up. You got to leave your home in the middle of winter, where you got your TV and your fridge, and rugby league is the best game in the world for TV. It's literally perfect for TV, and that's why I argue with AFL fans. They say they get big crowds because AFL, you go to watch an AFL game live, you can see more than what you see on TV. If you go to rugby league, the ball is the game, so the game is pretty much right in front of you in that rectangle, right in front of your eyes. So making people leave their cult, their nice warm couch, their cheap beer in the fridge, to go fight parking, to drag the kids along, to put all the clothes on, to find their seats, to, and I know it's a very like first world problem, all this shit, but people are going to make the choice. I can either sit there, sit at home where I'm comfortable and watch it, or what do I have that pulls me to the game? Now, I go to every single, the three of us, we pretty much go to every single home game, and I like going to the game because I like feeling a part of the community, the West Tigers fan base, and kind of you just feel that like you're that little tiny 0.5% contributing to the game. You're supporting the boys, you're holding up the flag, you're holding up the scarf, and you're part of it. A big crowd at Leichhardt Oval, the players say it, a big crowd at Leichhardt Oval just gives them that extra 10%, and it definitely does, although they've kind of proven that wrong the last few big games at Leichhardt Oval in previous years. But you got to give someone a reason to go through all those hassles. And I think, yeah, the biggest reason is you're going to go to the game expecting, well, not maybe not expecting, but confident of a win. If you're going to a game and going, oh, shit, we're playing against Melbourne or Parramatta or someone, and you think, how many are we going to lose by? People aren't going to leave their couches for that. So I think, yeah, it's purely down to, yeah, people, you just got to break that barrier, and you only have to look at the crowds in 2010, 2011, 2005, and the crowds were double what they normally are because the boys were playing the best brand of footy in rugby league history. So
yeah.
I think, yeah, great question, question there, Kel. So we'll go to Big T's question. Where is it? I'm sure you can probably remember it off by heart, Rob. Just trying to find
something
it.
Something about get onside instead of get them onside.
So is it possible in our lifetimes to change our fan mentality from get them onside to get onside? So at first, when I first read it, I thought he was having, it was like a grammatical joke, as in, why do we say get them onside to get onside? So what I can gather, he's saying, do we not blame the team for being penalised rather than the referee for penalising us? So, Rob, how do you decipher that? And I know you had a bit of a conversation with the team.
I interpreted it as don't blame the refs. They're human beings. They're trying their best. They're perfect human beings. Shit happens. Just, you know, it's a game of footy. Kind of, you know, politely move on. That's how I took it. And look, to be honest, he's probably right. Like, that's how we should be. But we're not. And if we were like the way the biggest tiger wants us to be, I wouldn't be watching the games. I wouldn't be going to games. We're tribal. Like, you know, Kelly asked earlier, like, you know, how we get more crowds. I think that, you know, if we play Parra next week or Penrith next week, we'll have big crowds there. You get the tribalism back. You get the fans back. Like, I'll be at Penrith in round 24. I don't care how cold it is. I don't care if I'm sitting on the hill. I don't care if I'm getting abused by Penrith fans. I'll be there and I'll be cheering the boys hard and, you know, hoping we can win. So
I'll be there with you.
Yeah, bloody oath. We'll take them on, Shane. Don't you worry. But, yeah, so, look, like I say, in theory, he's right. I just think we're all built differently. And I respect his views and his opinions. But, you know, like, you can't blame the refs every week. And I'm never one to blame the refs every week. I'll blame a decision. I'll say this was critical. This shouldn't have happened or that shouldn't have happened. But, like, where I get upset with refs, if you want to be brutally honest, is when it's reviewed and it's mucked up. So I've had a review of the Sivo whacking Dewey in the head. Forget the whack. If they couldn't see the blood coming off him and that was only deemed as a sin bin, they're kidding. It's a send-off. Okay, we saw one that was much less, you know, like it was nothing. Someone tripped over someone the night before and he got sent off and that was an accident. This was deliberate swinging arm and he didn't get sent off. So they could have been left with 12 men for about 25 minutes roughly. And then we see, like I said, the knee with Papa Lee, you know, that's an automatic send-off. What are we advertising to rugby league fans? You can deliberately drop your knee on someone's head and get away with it with an $1,150 fine. Like, as a Tigers fan, and it's going to sound really weird, I'm glad Sivo didn't get, you know, he only got 1 week, and I'm glad Papa Lee didn't get anything because we need Parramatta to beat Canterbury this week in case they win a few games in a row. We need Parramatta to beat Saints and North Queensland, and we want them having their best players. So it's a double-edged sword. Like, but the reality is he should have got at least 2 to 4 weeks for that. It's absolutely rubbish. So, I respect the biggest Tigers' opinion, but we're all built differently, mate. And I just won't cop our team getting slaughtered 2 weeks in a row. And we're lucky to have got one win out of it.
Shane, do you think we ref blame too much? Or you pretty much? I know what your answer is going to be pretty much here. Cause we've
it's kind their of... job.
Yeah.
Like, it is their job. That is their whole entire job on that field, to make sure the players are playing by the rules. If you're standing at a point, you look right and left quickly, and you can see if players are offside or onside, because where are you? You're on the fucking line. Like, they don't. They run back to the line, and they blow the whistle and watch the play the ball, but they don't first have a quick look, or glance left and right that takes a millisecond to do. You just go bang, bang, yep, sweet, play. They don't do it. So why, like, if you're a team that constantly does it, like Panthers were filthy for it when I was watching them at Leichhardt, they, like Tyrone May, I don't think was ever onside for that whole game. He was a good metre, 2 metres offside. Same with Paul Momorowski. He was a good metre offside the whole game. And Eels, again, were offside the whole game. But Grant Atkins doesn't look. So why are Parra or Penrith fans going to say, get onside to their own team when they're getting away with it? Like, that's not what a fan is going to do. They're getting away with the rules because the referee who should be doing his job isn't. That's literally it.
Do you guys reckon two referees was better, Rob?
Look, yes and no. I think it flows better with one referee, and two referees kind of made it a little bit different. But as to what Shane was saying, what people will turn around and say is, oh, well, you know, refs are human and, like, players make mistakes. Like, you know, we've had a player drop a bomb and someone knocked the ball on from dummy half. We're all going to make mistakes. As much as we hate it, mistakes are going to happen on the run. But the ones that get reviewed and get mistakes made out of, I can't cop that, because you've had the hindsight of the video talking to other officials, etc., and that, it's just not acceptable. If you review it and you still get it wrong, then, you know, you shouldn't have a job.
Okay, so moving on to next week's game, it's not getting any easier. We're paying $9 to win this weekend against the Melbourne Storm, which is probably fair enough. I'm not going to put any money on anywhere near that. Who knows what's going to happen? It's probably not going to be pretty. Saving grace is they move the game to the Sunshine Coast because Melbourne don't know how to deal with COVID-19. 7:35 Saturday night. So a couple of tweets that kind of talk about. Well, firstly, a fun one from Flobear: is Musgrove the new Russell Packer? I think Russell Packer is still Russell Packer, but Zane Musgrove. What's the go of Zane Musgrove, Shane?
Injured.
I thought so. Yeah. But just Anzac Day, he had a shocker and it struggled to get back in. And the more serious one, Bryson, why does Jacob Little keep getting selected? Rob, I'll let you start with that. Jacob Little staying in, or would you bring in Simkin instead?
Well, we discussed it last week, and really Shane hit the nail on the head. We should be rotating both Jake and Liz, but not just one to be replaced for the like one change and that's it. Bring someone on after 30 minutes, let the other one have a breather and come back on the last 20. I've definitely thought that Little's too good for New South Wales Cup. He scored a few tries this year, so look, he is improving. I mean, obviously those drop balls from dummy half, I don't know what happened there. That could just be fatigue, just lack of concentration.
Yeah,
I don't want to hang the guy out, mate. He's one of ours. So I get where the frustration's coming from. Like, you see a bloke do that twice in one game, you think, well, you know, piss him off and you know, give Simkin a go. I actually think it suits our team better to have two hookers, although, you know, it's exciting to have four big boppers on the bench. We really don't need it, and it doesn't help our situation if we do get an injury. Like what we were going to do on the weekend, you know, when we realised Billy Walters sucked, like there's no other way to say it, we could have moved Adam into 5'8 and put someone that's a bit of a utility or just juggle things around, and we just had no option. We had all these big boppers on the bench. So I don't know. I just think maybe our bench has to be a little bit more balanced. But yeah, it's just, I think we just can't hang him out on one game, but you know, I don't think he's got the position sewn up, and it's good to have two blokes that are competing well. But I would have hoped Simkin was in the 17 this week, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that could still happen for late change. Shane, are you pro Lids still?
We need two hookers on the bench. It's that simple. But not on the bench. We need two hookers
in the 17.
Yeah, 17. We need it. Little gets too tired. Has too much pressure put on him. Look, like I think he's been playing pretty well. His service was very, very slow, it seemed, against Parramatta. I'm not sure what it was. Like, the game before, he was sort of deceiving around the ruck, would grab the ball and give it a quick run, or like do a bit of a dummy and run out, but he didn't do nothing. It was just like a pick the ball up and quick little jog over to the side and a pass. It was like everything sort of slowed down a little bit. So I think we pretty much could have called it and just said, yeah, look, Simkin, you're going on. And, like, just use the sub to just get it done, get him off, see what's going on with him, and then bring him in as a lock later and just rotate around, because he looked tired. Walters shouldn't have been on there. We could have got him off.
And to be fair to Lids too, Shane, I don't know if you remember in the Roosters game, Simkin started, and Simkin dropped the ball in a crude, like we were 5 metres out on the attack.
Yeah.
And he just did the same old thing that Lids did from dummy half against Parra this week. So that's fatigue. That's fatigue. And it's just
100%.
You know, they're both young, and the reality is they probably can't handle 80 minutes, either of them. So that's a role that needs to be shared.
And we did it last year to great success. When we came back against Manly, that was as soon as Grant and Little were on the field together, and Grant turned into that lock position and like that roaming lock. And then, like, what do we do?
Look at the Premiers. Look at the Premiers. They start with Brandon Smith at hooker, and then Harry Grant comes on. So if the best are doing it, why can't we doing it? I'm not saying our guys are that good, but, you know, it's a formula that works. Yep. Yeah, why aren't we doing it?
Why aren't we?
We need. well, that's something for Madge to worry about, I suppose.
Yep. So, do you boys, so team list wise, obviously Ken Romalo has come on to the wing. He's going to make his debut for the club, having scored a hattie for the Warriors last week. Shane, what's your thoughts on this signing and straight into the team this week?
Oh, it's excellent. We need a winger. We don't have two wingers. We have one. David Nofaluma is a winger. James Roberts is not. He's a centre. But we've been playing in there, and look, he's been playing good. This is massive for us because now we've got Nofa with the speed and footwork. He still runs it hard. But then you've got the wrecking ball, Mamalo, who's 191 centimetres tall and 140 kilos. Like, he's bigger than some of our forwards. Yet he's playing on the wing. Like, that's what we need. We need someone to destroy. We need a Sebo. We need a Sebo. Like, that type of player that's just going to run. And if anyone's around him at the line, it doesn't really matter because he's just going to smash through.
Rob, what's your thoughts?
Mate, I'm a massive fan of the signing. I think when they announced he was signed, I tweeted words to the effect of, I don't give a crap if he's playing in reserve grade. He's tall, he's strong, and he can finish a try. And then the next day, he's done exactly what I basically tweeted. He's finished off three tries beautifully. So, you know, we've got someone with height now that can defuse a bomb or catch an attacking bomb. He knows how to get to the try line. He's a heart, he's a real meter eater. Like, he'll be doing those big carries out of our back end and not just, you know, relying on the Noffers of the world to do all that stuff. So in terms of wingers that were available on the market, I don't think we could have got anyone better, honestly.
So AD's obviously out, injured. So we've got Mbai is back at the six. Obviously, Billy Walters has been dropped. Again, Jimmy Roberts is moved into the centre. So thoughts on Mbai being back at the six? Funny that if you had said this a few weeks ago, we probably would have been disappointed, as we were when he first got named at the six. But I think we're pretty happy to have him back. What do you reckon, Shane?
Yeah, that's literally, that was our weak link. That was our weak link. So, we said it before. The confidence was at a high, and as soon as we found out, the confidence was at a low. So I'm happy. Some people probably won't be, because they all seem to hate him, but that's all right. I don't care about everyone else.
Rob, Adam Dwayhe being out injured, do you know how long it's going to be, and how much are we going to miss him?
I haven't actually made any phone calls to find out how bad it is. I would think that the club just obviously, you know, it would have been a really bad look if we played him this week. The way he really did look dazed, and it just would have looked like, you know, we weren't taking a duty of care with him. So, and look, yeah. I don't mean to be negative, but the, you know, even if we play our asses off, I just don't see us beating Melbourne. So it's, you know, why would you play him if, you know, just let him rest, just let him recover and get it right. So I think it's probably a wise decision to give him a rest this week, but I'm sure he'll be back for the South game.
So Joffa is back as well. So on the extended bench, Kelma Tuilagi to help me out, guys. Federica Polga, is that how you say it? His name's popped up on the bench. And Shane, do you know much about him?
No, I haven't even really seen much of him in reserve grade either.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I actually don't know who he is.
Rob, any idea? Rob, do you know anything
Nothing
about
at all,
this
mate.
Kid?
I can't even pronounce
I'm assuming
his name.
He's a kid. Yeah, well, neither can I. Not the only person that I can't. But yeah, so Jake Simkin is on the extended bench. Any chance Madge shakes it up a little bit to what we're seeing, 1-17? He hasn't really done that much this year. What you see is what you kind of get with Madge, Rob. But any chance of a shake up?
Like we said a few minutes ago, I hope Simkin gets onto the 17 somewhere. But who's he going to take off? Like, all those forwards on the bench are really good. So, yeah, I guess we'll just wait and see what the abbreviated lineup is the day before, because obviously he has to cut two players from there. But it still might not give us any, you know, any real guide as to who's going to be starting.
All right, predictions for this game. How ugly is it going to be? Shane, what are you thinking?
Oh, I reckon they'll beat us by 20+. They're just too good. They just have way too much attacking power. And their attack is probably the sharpest in the comp, bar Penrith, when they've got everyone.
What are you thinking, Rob? Are we any chance of making it a contest?
We're a chance of making it a contest if James Roberts can find a defensive game at right centre. Otherwise, Ollerman at O'Carr will have a feast. So if James Roberts can have a really big game defensively, I think we can keep it to 12 points. But if he doesn't, yeah, unfortunately, what Shane said.
So just looking at last time we conceded 50 was against the Storm. Last year at the Sunshine Coast, we lost 50-22. Ooh, okay.
No, the boys will show up. The boys will show. They'll have a crack. I just hope our edges hold. We'll match them in the forwards. We'll be all right.
Last time before that was when we played Para on Easter. Luckily, I was in the country for that. We actually don't concede 50 that often, do we? Once, and then last game of 2018 against the Rabbitohs, but the season was over at that point, so you can't really count that one. And from memory, there was a lot of late tries that kind of blew out. Yeah, once the season was pretty much done by then. So, yeah, anything under 50, it sucks to say, but they're probably the best team. Them and Penrith are the best team in the comp. They're pretty much full strength. If we can keep them to in the 30s, I think I'll be happy. But I don't know. Who knows? They might come out and surprise us.
If the jet holds up, we'll be all right. We just need the jet to show up and say, I want to be a first-grade defensive centre.
Okay.
Because he's going to have a bloody hard time on Ollam, let me tell you. He's such a strong runner. Like, it's the worst matchup possible. It really is.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad matchups going down the team list, like out of car. It's just like... anything else on your minds, West Tigers-wise, boys, that you want to discuss?
Shane? No, not really too much. I think we went through a lot of it. Just need to stop biting on these clickbait articles, because that's I think really what's doing my head in. It's just all bullshit.
Okay, let me tell you how Fox Sports works as a former Fox Sports writer. You come in, you get a meet, you have a meeting with your editor, and they basically tell you, go out and find an article, find Google, they're kids that are in their early 20s on stuff or pay. I know, because I was one of them. It's just, they just Google, you're literally told, and it's why I stick up for journalists, because I'm one myself. They go out and their job is to get us to click. It's just how the media works today. And you got to blame the consumer somewhat, because we click it. And I know the headline being, if it's inaccurate to what the article is actually about, then I guess you can put a bit of onus on the consumer. But it's pretty much just, it's the Kardashian era. People don't want to read good articles anymore. And like, as a former magazine writer, to the kids out there, magazine is something you used to read. It was kind of like an iPad, but with paper. Back in the day, I used to love writing feature articles. That was kind of my forte, but people just don't read them anymore. It's just, people just want quick hit articles. They want quick clicks. They want drama. They want all this sort of shit. And that's kind of leaked into sport. So the clickbait is kind of here to stay, but the only thing we can do is not click it, I guess. Daily Telegraph helps, because you got to kind of pay for their articles, but the clickbait articles, I miss reading magazines. Big League's dead, Rugby League Week's dead. I used to love getting them every week and reading actual passionate articles, but just the sign of the times is just how it is, unfortunately. It's the Gen Z way, us oldies. Hey Rob, we just kind of have to live with it.
I used to be lining up for those on Thursday to pick them up. Couldn't wait.
Yeah, I did as a kid too. I had a whole box full of... I've still got a few grand final editions of big leagues and stuff. I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to magazines and that sort of thing. So, how's MG Pump Solutions this week, Shano?
Good, mate. Had a little bit of an early one last week. So... we had a few big days. I think we'll work until 8 o'clock most of last week to make it a bit easier on us. So we try to make it hard on ourselves by taking time off. So that's good. We're out of Bondi today, and got some big jobs approved out there. So that'll take up a few nights. So it's a lot of night work. So I've got to do, as good as it sounds, sewer pit cleaning.
Do you get paid in paper bags out in Bondi?
I wish. I could hide it then. But it's all good fun.
And just quickly, Rob, how's the golf? How's the golf handicap looking?
It hasn't changed. The weekend wasn't really fruitful in terms of my golf game. I think I had footy on the mind. Magenta's a beautiful place to be, but really tough golf course. But we had great conditions and no excuses. Just, is what it is. We'll have to get back on the course. I'm having a week off, so I'll get back on the course next week.
And how's your golf game going, Shane?
Oh, I played the best game I've ever played on Friday. So I shot under 90, which is pretty good for me. So I finished on 15 over 18 holes. So I did pretty good.
And a little bit of a sad note to finish. Listeners will be happy that Shane and I, mainly me, won't mention the Denver Nuggets anymore for the rest of the year, because we were swept in the second round by the Phoenix Suns with so many injuries, Shane. Second round, not too bad. Not too bad by the boys. We got the MVP award. People are calling Jokic a fraud. Speaking of referees, I think it was absolute fucking bullshit that he got a double technical and sent off in the fourth game, but we weren't going to win the series anyway. So still love the West Tigers. Still love the Denver Nuggets, even though the refs seem to hate both of my teams, or our teams, Shane.
I think I'm just used to it.
Don't give up on us yet, Shane. I'm
not giving up on us, but I really have learned how to bend over quite well.
Said before the Penrith game, we got to win one out of four, and we got the one out of four. Anything we get out of the next two games is a bonus, and we got to finish with six wins out of the last eight. And as long as we're healthy, it can definitely be done. And what Brooks did last week behind a beaten pack with his running game, a little bit exciting. I don't want to get too excited, but let's just hope we're healthy when we get to those last eight games, because we can really make a good run for it.
And nice little positive way to end the show, Rob. So hope that we were a bit of therapy for the listeners out there. As I said at the start of the show, we're getting a heap of good feedback through the three of us about the show. Feel free to tell us what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, on our socials. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/westlife. Join, that's growing as well. Our listenership's getting bigger and bigger. The show's getting bigger. So it's, thank you to the listeners out there. Fingers crossed the boys put up some sort of fight this weekend. Boys, talk to you next week. As always, go the Tigers.